Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
You just I pointed at you.
No, I don't. That's Anthony. Don't get us confused. One's fat, one's thin.
Anthony usually waits.
One wears glasses. One doesn't have syphilis.
Allegedly.
Come on, do it.
Allegedly.
Come
reckless
on.
Speculation.
Oh, that's not the drop I wanted, damn it. Come on. All right, fine. You know what? We'll do it this way. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in a man who doesn't have syphilis.
Volunteer test.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Syphilis.
Allegedly.
Syphilis.
Syphilis.
21 cases of syphilis.
Syphilis.
I said I have syphilis.
Oh, my God, Hannah.
I'm going to get that damn clip in. We welcome in Kevin Kleps, who joins us from Crane's Cleveland Business. Hello, Kevin.
Mr. Carmen, what's going on?
Nothing. Just doing the show.
That was a heck of an introduction. Thank you.
One of the very best you're ever going to find. I bet you don't get this when you go on NPR station around here, do you?
You don't hear that.
Kevin Kleps joining us on the show. Matt Derry in for Anthony Lima today. You had an interesting report yesterday. The tweet says you guys can find this at cranescleveland.com. They're as consistent as an entertaining helmet flying season from Jose Ramirez. A winning Indians team always produces strong ratings. Through May, the Tribe ranked third in Major League Baseball. 32 of the 52 broadcasts were among the top three in baseball that night. The Indians, even though so many people are complaining about RSN and how they can't get it since they've cut the cord, Indians ratings are still very strong. Why?
It's just a summertime. I mean, it's a spring and summertime draw. I mean, when people are home at night, especially the older generation, they're watching baseball. And when you think about the streaming wars and all that going on, who are the people who are most likely to have cable and satellite? It's probably the older generation. And then there's a ton of baseball fans, a ton of Indians fans. So that's part of it, too. And, I mean, with Tito, they win almost every year. So that's, I mean, when you have that product that's consistently good every year, no matter what we want to say about payroll cutting and everything else, I mean, they're consistently good and they're consistently a postseason contender. That's something, and Cleveland loves a winner, and it's just a natural draw. There's some natural affection that people have to the Indians, and it's what you do in the spring and summertime.
Kevin, this has been going on for the last few years where the ratings, even when they were STO, the ratings were really good, but yet the attendance is always low, and the Indians are not one of the better, home attendance teams in the league. What's going on there? Because it's weird that the ratings are so high, but then people aren't coming to the stadium.
That's the thing. This is something, Matt, we all discuss every year. And they do get, the season ticket base has been relatively strong, especially from 2016 to 2018. It was the Indians' best in more than a decade. They do get strong support from a core group. But yeah, it's the casual fans that they have trouble with. On weekend nights, though, in the summertime, they draw. When certain teams come to town, they draw. It's those April and May nights on a Tuesday when the White Sox are in town and it's 40 degrees and it's raining. They're only going to have 10,000 fans there if they're lucky on some nights. But in the summertime, that's something I've debated with people for a long time. If you look at their summer numbers from once the kids are out of school in straight into September, as long as the Indians are competitive, which they have been, they draw well. I mean, they're in the high 20s, low 30s consistently on the weekends. And if the product is good, which it has been, they're going to get fans down there. But there is a disconnect, though, with the casual fans, and there is April and May is just not a good time to watch baseball in Northeast Ohio in the ballpark. It's just not.
So April,
most of the time.
April and May really hurt them that much? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the numbers, though, I mean, it's been better since they bulked up their season ticket base, but, I mean, back in 2015, 2016, when the season ticket base might have been 8,000, I mean, you would have 8,000, 9,000 on a Monday and Tuesday night. And when you do that for 2.5 months, that's going to affect your average big time.
Well,
and then you get into June and July, and you're in the mid-20s, upper 20s, low 30s on the weekends, which is a huge difference, obviously.
I just assumed. I didn't realize it was that bad, though. Kevin Klepp's joining us from Cranes, Cleveland. You mentioned the older people tend to still have cable. Is there any breakdown in demographics that you saw? Because, you know, if I hear that, I go, okay, well, what's the future? And I know we're worried about the now and the near future, but what's a long-term future there? Are there any numbers that they give you for that?
I do not have demographic breakdowns, which I would love. I wonder when I see these ratings numbers, I mean, a lot of us have cut the cord, but maybe it's not as many as we think. I mean, if you have this many people watching the Indians, and when you talk to people, you hear a lot of people say they have DirecTV or they have AT&T Now or they have Spectrum. Maybe a lot of people still have not cut the cord, or they're doing both. I don't know, but I tend to think that Northeast Ohio is predominantly made up of people who have not cut the cord. Otherwise, these numbers, there's no way these numbers would be as strong as they are.
Tell me this.
I don't have the data to back that up. I do not. That's one thing that Nielsen and others have not supplied is stuff like that, which would really make it interesting to find out.
Kevin, fans also talk about this all the time when they talk about the Tribe, and you know this. They'll say, well, wait a minute. If Dolan is the payroll down this low, and maybe if he's selling and crying poor, blah, 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 if the ratings are so good, are they selling enough high-end ads? Because, hey, look, you should be going to advertisers right now, big ones with a lot of money, saying, look at our numbers. People are watching. And how much of that money is then going into ownership's pocket?
That's the thing. Is their TV deal is not nearly as good as some others in baseball. The Rays a year or two ago had one that was tens of millions of dollars better than the Indians' TV deal. The Indians' deal was struck a decade ago. I mean, and those deals tend to get old real quick. So, I mean, if they're getting $45 million a year from Sinclair, and that's decent, but that's not going to – what's that going to get you in terms of upper market players? I mean, it's a nice revenue chunk, but other teams are getting twice that. So that's part of the issue here is there is that disparity in baseball between local revenue of these teams. It's a huge issue, and it's something that has not been properly addressed. So, yeah, they're getting some good money from their TV deal, and the national TV deal is pretty darn good for baseball, so they're getting a chunk of that too. But how MLB splits up the local revenue and the revenue sharing has always been a problem.
When's that deal run out again, the year?
The local deal goes through, from what I've been told, 2027. So there's still another 6 years on it. So
that's
going to be going for a while. There was a couple extensions there. Options were exercised. And from what I understand, we still have another 6 years on that.
Okay, because I didn't want to get confused, like the lease with the city and the whole thing with the TV deal. Okay, so if it goes through 2027.
Yeah, and the lease goes through 2023. The Cavs TV deal is actually up this year, which is interesting. But I haven't heard a lot on that front.
Well, let me use them as an example, because Lyman and I have talked about this. Kevin Klepp's joining us on the show. Kevin, what is the competition for the Indians, or not for the Indians, but for the TV provider? What is the competition that could drive up the price to make it better for the Indians there in this region?
That's the thing, is there isn't a ton. But unless a team... See, I could see a Dan Gilbert doing this. I don't think it would be done this quickly if they're just trying to do it now because the deal is up. But you could do what the Indians did back a decade ago with doing your own network, where you sell your own ads, you get a team to sell your own ads, you run the network, and you do it that way. I could see a Dan Gilbert type doing that. But there, aside from that, there really aren't a ton of other options. I don't know if there could be some kind of NBC Sports regional network that would want to step in for somebody like the Cavs or the Indians. I don't know how feasible that is. But when you look at who has these regional sports networks, Sinclair has, two-thirds of them. And then you have NBC Sports. I don't know if they would come into this market, they seem to be further out west, and I just don't know how that would work. But yeah, there aren't a ton of competition unless you have an owner who wants to do his own thing, which if anyone could do that or would want to be willing to do it, I could see Dan Gilbert looking into that.
Well, all they got to do is max out Colin Sexton first. Sorry.
Oh, man.
You want to have that fight? Let's have that. They're going to do it, Kevin. You know they're going to do it. Just accept it, and we'll all move on.
Now, this discussion has gotten so tired with the Cavs. It's just painful. They're the next Atlanta Hawks. They're the next Phoenix Suns. It's like, oh, my God.
No, they're the next Kings. You know it, and I know it, and the American people know it, Kevin. Go ahead, Matt.
I feel bad for Colin Sexton. He's a heck of a player, and he's gotten better every year. So he's become the poster child for all this crap that's going on with fans going back and forth with saying the rebuild is terrible versus the rebuild is right on schedule. They're the next Atlanta Hawks. It all comes down to Colin Sexton, unfortunately.
Well, but in all seriousness, to take this thing in-house and do it yourself, people go, oh, well, all the revenue would come to Dan and to the team, and they don't need Bally's anymore. That's a big-time venture. Yeah, it looks good on paper, but that's a lot of work to be put in. And coming off a year and a half of a pandemic, I'm not so sure they're going to do that.
No, I don't think it's something that would happen right now. Like you said, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of expenses that go into it, too. My whole thing was if it was going to happen and something like that would happen, I could see Gilbert doing it more than other owners. But, yeah, that's a heck of an undertaking, especially since the deal just ran out. This is something that would have to have been in the works for years.
We got Kevin Klubbs joining us. Crane's Cleveland Business is joining us on the show. The Browns have already reached their cap on season tickets. Is this correct?
They are, yes.
Well, that's
and it's been for a couple months, I think.
Wow. So they have a waiting list now of more than 10,000?
They have a waiting list that is approaching 10,000. By the 2022 sales cycle, which they start early, they start that in the fall, they expect to be over 10,000.
See,
I guess if you think about what the Browns are doing and how now that they're actually good, it's not that surprising, but it just shows how the Browns mania in this town is just wild.
Well, you make me feel better about it because we used to get calls when the Browns were dumpster juice and they'd say, oh, they like losing. They still make money when they lose. I go, they make way more money when they win. And this is just proof that, I mean, you have to have a $100 deposit just to be on the waiting list for crying out loud, according to your report here, Kevin. So,
yeah, you have to put down $100 just to get on the list, and it's a commitment. But credit to them, they treat these people on the waiting list like they're season ticket holders. They give them early access to certain events, and they give them the content that the season ticket holders get. It's pretty cool.
Let me ask you this though: do you think is the Indians and Cavs who hurt themselves with their season ticket base, or is it that affected by the Browns being good? Because we get in these squabbles as fans. You're the one who follows the numbers. Tell me which is closer to the truth.
I'm sure when the Browns are good, it is going to naturally make it tougher on the Indians and Cavs just because so much attention is on the Browns. But I don't think it's going to like kill season ticket bases of the other two and that kind of stuff. I mean, it might affect them a little bit, but the Browns are always – I mean, even when the Browns are 7-9, we know this. They're going to get the bulk of the attention when the fall starts. But that's not going to prevent people from buying seats to the Cavs games or committing to 10 Indians games or 20 Indians games. I don't see how that works. There is only so many entertainment dollars to go around, but Clevelanders are so rabid when it comes to the big three sports teams that I don't think a really good Browns team or a Browns team with 70 or 80,000 people on a season ticket members plus a waiting list, I don't think that's going to prevent the Indians and Cavs from having decent season ticket bases. That comes down to the product. I mean, if the Cavs continue to be this bad, they're going to have trouble signing people on no matter what the Browns are doing.
Well, where are they now, by the way, with the Cavs? Like you mentioned, the Indians, all right, good TV ratings. Browns, you mentioned the wait list. And, of course, I mean, this team is on fire right now. Where are the Cavs in terms of season tickets and all that?
This is a big, big year for the Cavs. And they're coming off the pandemic, obviously. They expect to be at full capacity this year. They were in the 10,000 range heading into the pandemic. Where they're at right now, I'm not exactly sure. But it's going to be – I mean, it's tough. You're coming off a year where attendance was limited at 4,000. Now you're going to probably go into full capacity. it's going to depend on what happens this offseason. This is a really big offseason for the Cavs, and I think there's corporate partnerships that are up. There's premium ticket holders, those kind of deals that are up. This is a big, big offseason for the Cavs and for a ton of different reasons.
I think you're going to have a line down prospect to see Colin Sexton, sir.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Thank you very much. He's going to get signed. Just accept it. Accept it. And it's going to be the max deal. Just take it in. Kevin, you know what's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to be a max. I think it could be close, but I don't think it's going to be a max.
Matt, go ahead. If there's anything else you wanted to ask Kevin, go right on ahead.
I was going to ask Kevin if he thinks that Jared Allen can push his range out and splash home some more threes while we're breaking it down here.
That'll make things better.
How much money he gets is going to be interesting, too. Does he get $100 million? He probably does.
They're going to run out of money. I mean, there's only so many guys you can have on this team, and no one's taking Kevin Love, although, you know, Ken wants to trade him for Kristaps Porzingis. That's another story for
another day.
I'll
trade Kevin Love for Kevin Kleps. I don't care. I just want Kevin Love off the team, and a free-up salary is what I want.
They're not going to free up. If you trade Kevin Love, you're not free up salary. You're taking on somebody else's bad contract.
Well, what's your contract look like, Kevin? Maybe we could. Okay, I'm just being nasty now. Follow him on Twitter, at Kevin Kleps. He's one of the very best. We mean that sincerely. Great stuff as always, Kevin. Take care, and I hope we're able to have you on again very soon, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Kevin Kleps, Crane's Cleveland Business, joining us on the show. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Kevin Kleps, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Can we have this Sexton discussion coming up next? Please. You're rubber stamping.
You paused after you got through, like you went to say Sexton, but you paused halfway through. So I was like, what? And then I heard it. I was like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah, we can have it. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but it's just straight facts. They're going to sign him to the max deal. Just accept it now so we're all happier. It's coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.